But looking back at Matthew 4 and 23, it also mentions that Jesus healed people physically. Is there a work that we can do now that compares to healing? Brother Greg Nickel from the Edmonton Laurier Heights congregation will now consider how we can heal in a figurative way as he discusses, do the work that Jesus did, heal.
Jesus was a man of action. And yet, he was also a man of tender compassion. We've seen that this weekend so far, haven't we, in our beautiful video presentations. It's that tender compassion that he had for people, though, that moved him to act. You may remember on one occasion, Jesus was in a crowd, probably about the size of the one that's here today. In fact, maybe even a little bit more. But he said that he felt pity for them. And why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. But Jesus was the shepherd that they needed. He clearly understood their needs, each of them. And he healed them with kindness and sympathy. We know that in addition to preaching and teaching the good news to them, as we've just heard, some of them he cured physically. But what was more important to Jesus than even physical cures was their spiritual needs and their need to be healed spiritually. So he healed them figuratively with positive and wholesome words based on the scriptures. Do you remember, too, the loving invitation? We heard it this morning already from Matthew 11 and 28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are toiling and loaded down, and I will refresh you." Many responded, and Jesus fulfilled his promise towards them. Today, like them, many are toiling and loaded down with anxieties and stress. Sometimes they're overwhelmed by feelings of depression and loneliness. Well, how can we help to heal these ones in imitation of Jesus? Well, we can do all that we can to help them figuratively. There's many opportunities to do that. And we've talked about some this morning, for example, in our ministry, by preaching and teaching. We also have the congregation. We can encourage our brothers there. And what about our own families? They need figurative healing too. We know that by means of Jehovah's powerful Holy Spirit, Jesus was able to cure, miraculously cure physically the people. Well, we don't have that ability today, do we? But we have been given a powerful healing tool, and we have that same powerful Holy Spirit to help us to use that tool. That tool is our tongue or our speech. Please take your Bibles and turn with me, though, to a scripture that's going to tell us how powerful this tool actually is. It's Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. So in your Bibles or in your electronic devices, let's read this scripture together. Proverbs 12 and 18, and it says, "Thoughtless speech is like the stabs of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is a healing." Well, that's a pretty powerful word picture in that verse, isn't it? But maybe to clarify its meaning a little bit more, there's another proverb, Proverbs 18 and 21, that says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when we go back to our verse, thoughtless speech is like the stabs of a sword. That could actually add to one's pain. Or even worse, it could kill that one's spirit. On the other hand, though, what did it say? The tongue of the wise is a healing. So wise and positive and wholesome words certainly can have a powerful healing effect. But how and when can we use our tongue to heal as Jesus did? Well, we can use well-chosen words from God's Word. How could these help? I'd like to invite you again to turn to a scripture. It's a familiar one to many of us. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's go there. This scripture has been applied in many different contexts, but we want to look at it in the context of our discussion here this morning. And we're going to focus in on one particular word. We're just going to read the first part of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And there it says, "Brothers, even if a man takes a false step before he is aware of it, you who have spiritual qualifications, try to readjust such a man in a spirit of mildness." So in this verse, it's telling us that we can readjust mistaken viewpoints. Now, to understand this even a little bit clearer, we have to understand the Greek word that is used for readjust. It actually is a surgical term that describes the setting of a broken bone. Now, I think all of us can appreciate, if we've had a broken bone, how important it is to take care of it immediately. We want to get it set. We want to get it looked at, put a cast around it so that healing process will start. So what's the application? Powerful words from carefully chosen Bible texts may restore and heal, preventing permanent spiritual damage, just like setting that bone will stop a permanent deformity from happening. These powerful words may include specific and genuine commendation and encouragement, and at times, words of consolation. For example, when someone has lost a loved one in death, what can we do? Well, we can imitate Jesus. That's our theme. We can learn from the way that he comforted the sisters of his dear friend Lazarus, for example. When Lazarus was sick and to the point of dying, Jesus went there to comfort them. Jesus knew that he was going to resurrect his friend by Jehovah's power, but he lovingly reassured them with the words, "Your brother will rise." Yes, Mary and Martha knew that the resurrection was a real thing that they could put their faith in. They had faith in that resurrection. But can you imagine them hearing those words from their dear friend Jesus, "Your brother will rise"? It reassured their faith, didn't it? Our words of consolation can reflect that same hope. And remember that even a few sincere and positive words can mean much to reassure the faith of a grieving one. These words can be spoken, as Jesus did, or they can be written in letters that can be read and reread to provide a long-term comfort for a grieving person. Expressing our care and concern can comfort grieving hearts in a practical way. Do you remember how Proverbs 17 and 17 goes? It says, "A true friend." And how does it finish? "A true friend shows love at all times and is a brother born for times of distress." Is that the kind of friend that you would like? Is that the kind of friend that you would like to be yourself? Well, you can look for opportunities to be that kind of friend. How might we help someone to find solutions to disturbing problems? I'd like you to note the following demonstration in which a brother helps a new publisher to use the research guide to find healing from Jehovah's Word.
"You know, Dave, it's been such a struggle for me. I just don't know if I'll ever get over the pain I'm feeling right now. My son, Robbie, he committed suicide. I just wish I knew what he was going through. I wish I could have done something to prevent it."
"My brother, Ryan, I can't imagine the sadness you must feel right now. In fact, it's difficult for me to find the words that could bring you any sort of comfort during such a difficult time. However, Jehovah is the God of comfort, and I'm certain that he has the words that can help you to cope. Can we take a few minutes to research together where we can find some comfort from God's Word?"
"I would appreciate that, brother. Please."
"Okay, I see you have your tablet there. I have mine as well. Let's go to the Watchtower Online Library and see if we can find some of Jehovah's soothing words. Click on the Publications tab and then select research guide there, and select subjects, and under subjects, scroll down to the subject of death. Now notice all those subheadings there. Notice the one, death of a child. And it references a number of Watchtower articles. One entitled, Deep and Lasting Pain. The other, Help from the God Who Supplies Endurance and Comfort. These articles might prove helpful because the pain you feel, Brian, is deep and will last as long as the system does. But Jehovah can help you to cope until then. Now, notice under the next subheading, Suicide, it makes reference to the article, You Can Find Help. Now, do you think this article might contain some soothing words that can help you to cope?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's look at it. Select it, and notice on page 12, there's a box there. It's entitled, it asks the question, Have you lost a loved one to suicide? And it quotes in part Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10, that says, The heart alone knows its bitterness. So it's easy to recognize the signs of suicidal feelings after the fact, but in the present is a totally different matter. Sometimes it's simply impossible to know what another person is feeling or thinking. So please, try not to beat yourself up or to blame yourself over this tragedy.
You know, I feel relieved, Dave. And while I know I still have a long road ahead of me while I cope with this, I do feel better just looking at this scripture here.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Brian. You know, an article in the Watchtower is not going to fix all of our problems. It's certainly not going to fix your current situation. But it's clear, Jehovah's organization is aware of the challenges, the extremely difficult problems that our brothers and sisters face. And they have made available to us much information to hopefully provide some comfort and to help us to cope the best we can.
Thanks so much, Dave, for your concern and your practical help today. The Watchtower Online Library, I know, is a marvelous resource, and I'm going to be reviewing those articles that we found. I'm so grateful to Jehovah and his organization for their loving care.
So as it was in Jesus' day, many today are also hurting and need figurative healing. And we know that it's only God's kingdom that can provide permanent healing for all of mankind, whether that be physical or spiritual. But until then, we can use the powerful tool that we have been given, that is our tongue, our speech, to share the healing power of God's word. Again, in our ministry, as we've talked about, preaching the good news, sharing comfort to our neighbors with the kingdom hope, a time when there will be no more mourning or pain or suffering or even death. Also in the congregation, we have opportunities to offer sincere and genuine words of encouragement and commendation, and at times consolation. And of course, to do all in our power to comfort the loved ones in our own families. So like we've had in our symposium this morning, whether we're preaching, teaching, or offering figurative healing, let us all, friends, imitate Jesus and do the work that he did.
Thank you, brothers, and all who assisted you. We look forward to applying those excellent suggestions in the various facets of our ministry.